Hi, Dumpster Divas. We are back with another episode of Dumpster Dive with me, Tom Hamlet. And today, to help me just kind of gab about everything going on in our sphere, I'm joined by Chelsea of Oh No Chels on Instagram. You know her, you love her. Chelsea, welcome. Oh, and of course, Cute One Pod.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I feel like it's been so long.
I know, it has been a second. I think the last time you were on was, I don't even know. Was it like, were we talking Summer House maybe? I don't know.
That feels right.
You often return to us in those times. Summer House.
I also just, I've been like the world's worst Bravo fan. So I haven't really been on anybody's podcast just because for so long I was like out of the scoop. I wasn't caught up on anything.
Well, you were telling me before we pressed record that you are caught up on Beverly Hills, but that's about it, which I'm confused about why that's the one, because that one has been so annoying.
It's because that's the one that I'm covering on my Patreon. So that's the one that like, I'm like, all right, I have to stay up to date on this one. But yeah, it is completely backwards because Atlanta, I was loving, and then I just fell off, and I've only heard from everybody that it continues to get funnier and funnier every week.
Yeah,
and I'm behind on Girls Trip too.
Being behind on Girls Trip is a crime because I watch it literally Thursday mornings.
I get stressed out by Dorinda. Like, I'm still enjoying everybody, and I really am putting my foot in my mouth because it's like, it's a cast of women that I was like, I never want to see any of these people on my screens ever again. Mm-hmm. And then of course they're brilliant and it's so fun to watch. But Dorinda in particular, like the darkness that surrounds her stresses me out a bit.
Yeah. And you know, we've talked about this at length here on the pod, but just I think she thought this was going to be she thought this was going to be a different opportunity than it ended up being. Like, and Bravo is genius in throwing and making her be the center of this because it makes her the worst version of herself, which mm-hmm. makes her good television. But she is just like fully into, I think in her world it was like she's like Dorinda pre-Roni and Dorinda post-Roni, and she's doesn't ever want to go back to the pre-Roni Dorinda, and she cannot let it go. She can't. And I think Andy said that like she was on pause truly because he's scared of her.
As a hardcore Dorinda fan, like for so many years, I loved Dorinda. She was one of my favorites. I found her so delightful and like a breath of fresh air on Roni. Mm-hmm. Like I really, really enjoyed her, and it was so tough to see her last season, her make the mistake of just not being able to have any introspection and recognize like that she had fucked up and that she was being really cruel and mean, especially to Tinsley.
Right.
Like, I really do think that she shot herself in the foot at the reunion. And then it's like, it's so disappointing to see that she's learned nothing from that. Mm-hmm. And I think Bravo, they are geniuses for telling her that she's on pause because it gave her this like inflated sense of ego and self of like, well, I wasn't fired. I was put on pause. So any moment now they will be bringing me back. And it's like, but clearly you've learned nothing.
Right. Yes. And I heard, I think it was on Bitch Sesh last week, or it was definitely on another podcast, but I'm not remembering which one. Someone was like, aren't they all? Like, isn't that just, what does that mean?
The fact that they're all on Girls Trip now shows that they're unpaused for a moment.
Correct. I'm like, you've realized that's just what all of this is. Like, I think there's very few that are not, that are on, that were control all deleted. Like, I think Kelly Dodd is control all deleted. We'll never say never. I could see them throwing her on a Girls Trip just because they are crazy, but mm-hmm. I think there's also women that don't have any interest in it anymore, so those people are control deleted as well. But I'm sorry, Vicky is on pause,
right?
Like, Tamara's on pause. Like, I really think all of these people are just waiting for their moment to return because they all quickly said yes to doing this program.
I mean, Jill Zarin, if Andy like asked her to lick his toilet seat for screen time, she would be there just slurping away, you know?
And she really can't get over, she is so interesting to me because she believes her own bullshit. Jill. Mm-hmm. She really believes that she is not thirsty, that she's the victim, that she is all these things. I'm like, girl, like that whole thing she posted about Tamra in the show. So for those that don't know, Tamra is coming back to Real Housewives of Orange County, which I am a Tamra fan. Even though she's a monster, I really think she's chaotic good.
See, this was an example of I can admit when I was wrong, because by the time it was the end of her tenure, I was like, get this woman off my screen. I'm so done with her. Mm-hmm. She's always stirring the pot. Like, it's messy and not a fun way. And then when she left, we saw what we were left with. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, never mind.
Yeah. And then, you know, for them, I was actually pretty. Did you watch OC this past season?
I was in and out.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fine.
It didn't catch me.
I couldn't finish the reunions, which is rare for me. Like, that's mm-hmm. my favorite time of year, reunion season, and I couldn't get through it with them. But what I was going to say, though, is that I was actually pretty shocked that Noella did not come back, especially with them bringing Tamra on, because I think the two of them would be a genius. I mean, they would hate each other.
They would hate each other. It would be kind of genius. Fun to watch.
But then with the supposed bringing back of Alexis Bellino, I think they were really just like, we should have never gotten rid of these ladies. What were we doing?
I mean, Orange County back in the day was like one of my favorite franchises.
Same.
Like the introduction of Shannon Bedore, mm-hmm. just like perfection to me. Like, her season one and two Shannon and just her chaotic energy, and she was always like, she was just giving big Kathy Comics energy of like, yes. Like she was just like walking around just like freaking out about yeah. things. Mm-hmm. I loved it, and I don't know, I just, it was but so I disappointing. I tuned in because they brought back Heather, and I right. loved Heather back in the day, but I think that they really thought she was gonna like save the franchise, and that's too much pressure to put on anybody, especially an asshole. Like, I love Heather because she's an asshole,
yeah, she's
not
a dick.
Because she's like meant to be the likable one.
Oh, she's awful. Like, she would be terrible. So scary to me in the real world. Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't put so much pressure on one person, and then recasting you, and then for them to recast the whole thing around a bunch of different women who don't really know each other. If they want to do a full reboot recast, you kind of got to like make a new group of friends or something like that.
There has to be organic connections. And it's funny because the only organic connections there really were like centered around Bronwyn. Like, imagine Noella, so imagine her throwing away like her entire friendship with Bronwyn, putting all of her messy ass marriage on television just to be a one hit wonder.
Yeah. I mean, I doubt she handled that well.
No.
Because she's alluded to this being her dream, like forever, being an OC housewife. Yeah. I don't think we'll ever get back to where we were, though, with it. Because, like, the reason Shannon coming on was so genius is because Shannon was not coming on to the show because she wanted to sell something or she wanted to. She was literally, she didn't know how to pay. Remember, she didn't know how to pay her electric bill?
Yeah, she wasn't aware that electricity costs money.
Right. Like, this is a woman who had no sense of like autonomy in her life. Like, seriously. And so what made her genius reality television in the beginning was like, this is the first time she got to be like the star of the show, mm-hmm. where she got to make the money and get the appearances. And that's why like she kind of was so fascinating for so long. But I don't find her as fascinating anymore because...
Well, and then the jumping off point of the genius casting of Megan King Edmonds, who was always organically around. Like, they were able to do flashback footage of Megan taking tequila shots with David. Like, she was that woman that got Shannon all in a tizzy a couple seasons prior. And that was like the casting process that worked, that it was clearly a woman who was already around. Like, mm-hmm. she was already getting invited to Heather Dubrow's house. And they were like, oh, remember that beautiful, stunning young woman who made Shannon lose her shit? Why don't we bring her on?
Yeah.
And then we got the Brooks season.
Right.
We got Detective Megan King Edmonds.
Yeah, she But see, my thing with Megan, though, is I don't think she would have been... I don't think she wouldn't have been so good if the Brooks thing hadn't happened.
Well, I mean, that she didn't have a storyline. That no. was her storyline. But I love a housewife that's like, oh, you want to keep something off camera? Well, actually, I called around to different hospitals and they don't offer that treatment.
Still, it's so... I mean, that era was so good. We were... We didn't know what
Brianna
we had.
Brianna sitting on the couch calling him, telling the world that mm-hmm. he calls himself Girth Brooks.
Yeah, like, what the... And for Vicky to still just stand blindly by his side. I mean... She is sick.
Yeah, she just wants that love tank full.
I know, and for someone who's so quote unquote prude, she's so fucking horny.
She really is. Did you see that her son Michael was doing like an Ask Me Anything? And one of the things he said, they were like rank her boyfriends, and it was like Don was at the very top, and mm-hmm. then at the bottom of the screen was Brooks, and under that was Steve.
No, Steve was under Brooks.
Steve was like almost like not even on the screen. He was so low.
Oh my God. I feel like there's stuff with him that we never really got to see, because I feel like mm-hmm. he kept it nice for the cameras.
Yeah, there was definitely...
But they were a bad match. I mean, you just looked at them, you're like, you guys...
She was so bored.
So bored. And she just didn't... I don't think there's anything she liked about him.
I think that she just wanted to be with somebody. But yeah, he was so bland. And she was bland with him. And that's like, if you can make Vicky Gumvelson boring, then like, you're like a fun vampire. Like, you're just sucking the fun out of everything.
Yeah, I know. I completely agree. Well, what else is going on? We didn't even talk about what I wanted to talk about. So Jill was strolling. What was she doing? Like, where was she heading? She was like running to the car and decided that was the time to take to front facing camera.
One of my followers said that Jill Zarin is all of our aunts on Facebook.
Absolutely.
It's like going to like announce like, oh, by the way, Chelsea's getting married. Oh, by the way, Chelsea's pregnant.
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Oh, congratulations to my beautiful niece. It's a girl.
Like, I really don't think she has bad intentions. She's just so thirsty.
I think she's so thirsty. And I do think she believes herself that she's not thirsty. Because for her to just announce like, oh, by the way, Tamara's going to be back. It's like, you know that Tamara is going to come for you. Like, and then that's what she wants ultimately, because now we're all talking about her.
Right. Did you see her rebuttal was like, I just was reading the headlines and telling my followers about it. And it's like, okay, Jill, like if, like, you know how these things work, you're not like a fan of the show. Like,
right.
You were a housewife. You like know that like you can't comment on things until like they're confirmed by X, Y, and Z. Like, Tamara can't talk about that yet.
Yeah.
Although, I will say, I do find it interesting that she's the one that they're, like, bringing back after Ultimate Girls Trip. I mean, maybe they would have brought her back regardless because, like, the show needed it, but she's not that exciting on Ultimate Girls Trip. Like, she's not the, like, driving force in the cast for me. Like,
yeah.
the cast for me is Phaedra, Brandy, Dorinda, Taylor. Like, mm-hmm. that's kind of, like, the driving momentum for me. And then Vicky, and then Eva is a nice breath of fresh. And then Tamara and Vicky are, like, very much bottom of the barrel with Jill.
Yeah. Well, I would almost like, and I've been saying this, but, like, I would almost like for Tamara to be brought back in like a friend of capacity mm-hmm. where we don't have to have the at-home scenes that will save us the stress of wondering if we're going to see the real life bridge troll Ryan on our screens again. Like, I don't
the grand wizard of QAnon. Right.
Yes. Like, I don't care to ever see another scene with her and Eddie pretending that they might have a baby at mm-hmm. age 60 or whatever. Like, no. I don't need any storyline of her. I just want to see her show up to events and be messy and stir the pot. And I feel like we should start having our OGs move into a friend of role and not view it as like a demotion, but view it as like a thank you for your service. Your story has been told. We want to keep you on our screen. So keep showing up to cast trips and dinners and events, but we don't need you to worry about faking a storyline for us.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a great point. They did that a lot on, I know you have not watched this, but they did a lot on Mob Wives. On Mob Wives, they would be like, you know, Drita, you don't have a lot going on. Let's like bring some other people like more to the front. And then like they would like ebb and flow each season who was like holding the, I don't know what they held in Mob Wives, but a gun, a pistol, a Glock.
I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think we could do it on Bravo because the egos get in the way so much. We saw what happened with Vicky when they tried to like.
Well, no, did you know that Tamara was offered that?
And she wouldn't take it.
Yeah, she wouldn't take it. She was offered that when she, the first season that she was not on, they were like, we'll give you a friend of and kind of like an exit strategy. Like a, you'll be here for half of it and do like a send off. Yeah. And she was like, no, I'm not down for that.
Well, I guess wonder, that worked in her favor.
It did. It did. I just don't know why we can't just keep them on our screens forever with some of these people. Like, I don't really, like, Dorinda, kind of, I think she just should have stayed on. She was a mess, regardless. Like, I think she's become more of a mess leaving.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting that, like, that was their line in the sand of, like, ooh, Dorinda's too off the rails. On New York, if we look around at what's problematic and what we can't have on our screens anymore, it's Dorinda.
I know. I'm like, what? Like, Ramona is a full, like, tin hatter. And, like, she is just, like, getting to be on every iteration of that show. I mean, you've brought it to your followers' attention, but I'll never forget, like, when you put the pieces together that she was asked to be on Ultimate Girls Trip after they had already filmed like that god awful like Black Shabbat scene.
Yeah, they saw the footage from Roni and they said, yep, let's have her on Girls Trip. That'll be fine.
Right. Like, what?
Because that was like the conspiracy theories going on of like wanting to see what viewers thought of her on Girls Trip before bringing her back for another season. But that's like, no, they are putting all of their eggs in Ramona Singer.
They are, but apparently she's not going to be back. Apparently. Who's to know if that's real or not? But
well, talk about a meltdown on Instagram that will be impending if that's true.
You think she'll do that? I'm not sure.
I think she'll just get more and more unhinged because she's so addicted to the attention.
I think she
is she going to do?
I agree, but I actually think she might be okay with a little bit of time away. Because, you know, I could see her coming back in some way at some point in time.
Well, I mean, we all have, as everybody in the Bravo community, including myself, like we all have the memory of a goldfish. Mm-hmm. And so like, I know objectively she is terrible the same way I know that Vicky Gunvalson or Tamara is terrible or any of the women on our screens. But there is, I mean, Phaedra, like the shit that Phaedra did during her season. And now it's like enough time has passed. And I'm like, I know my logical brain knows that she is a monster for some of the stuff she did. But yet she says some things in her confessionals and I'm cackling and
she's so fucking funny, y'all. Although I got a little upset that on the most recent episode, which I've not seen, but Vicky doesn't know anything about any of the other shows. I'm convinced she probably hasn't never even seen a scene on OC that she wasn't in. Like I feel like she's one of those fast forwards just to her uh-huh. scenes. And she was like, "Wait, so Phaedra, what happened when you left your show?" And Phaedra was like, "I'm not talking about that."
Yeah.
And they were like, "Oh, what?" And she's like, "Yeah, I'm not talking about that." And then they cut to, but then they cut to confessionals, and Phaedra was like, "All I have to say about that is, there are two sides to every story, and like, I don't think the right move was made." I'm like, Phaedra, like, you literally were, regardless of whatever your side is, you still did something awful,
terrible. Like, you,
like, I don't really know what other side there is to that story.
Right. Unless she's saying that what she accused
she did. Right.
Right. Then that's even then
worse.
Right. Then say it. If that's true, then you should be speaking on that. But Jesus, no, that's, and, but also like looking, just removing the situation itself from it. That's was always Phaedra's issue as a housewife of she always from the beginning. I mean, did it make for hilarious television that she was trying to convince us that she was unsure of her due date? Yes. But like, genius. She was always trying to keep stuff off camera.
Yeah. Yeah. The due date will go down in history. And then they're all sitting out there on Cynthia's like weird porch. And they're like, no, that means you're going to have the baby at 7 months. And she's like, yeah, the doctor said if she's ready, she's ready. Like, okay. I don't think that's how it works, but.
Classic.
Ugh. Well, I know you are watching Big Brother right now. Are you up to date on Big Brother?
Mm-hmm. I am.
I am too. I just got up to date today. And this is your first like time real watching. Season.
Yeah. So you and Donnie and Kendrick got me into Celebrity Big Brother a couple months ago. And I talked so much shit about Big Brother in like a loving way, mm-hmm. of just like, I always found Big Brother fans to be so funny because I understand, obviously, like I, with me and Bravo, like I understand what it's like to be like obsessed with something, but there's something about Big Brother with like the comps and the challenges and all the like normalization of just wild ass shit of like, oh, by the way, there are people eating slop and right. sleeping on blow up match or blow up pool toys. And like, it's just so normalized. So I talked a lot of shit and then I got into it for Celebrity Big Brother and I was ready to like take the plunge into real Big Brother. But this season, is it always like this? Like this is.
Is it always like what?
Like, I mean, I get like whenever I ask this question, people are like, yes,
yeah,
question mark.
It kind of is. I mean, something. So for those that don't watch Big Brother, this season started off with this bizarre gang up on this woman, Taylor. Taylor is her name, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's this black woman, a ex-beauty pageant winner or something mm-hmm. along those lines. I don't know if she won, but she's a pageant queen.
She was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so she reveals that. And then there's this woman, Paloma, I believe is her name. Mm-hmm. She, like, was so mad about her being a pageant queen, essentially, that she like got together with all the girls and was like, do you see her up there trying to flirt with the guys to like get in with them? Like, she's not one of us. Like, we are the
and
good
not
girls.
Only
like,
that,
we.
They called their alliance the Girls Girls Alliance right. because they were all girls girls and Taylor wasn't. And then the Girls Girls Alliance decided to naturally not target any of the 8 men in the house, but target the other woman in the house. And then in addition to that, it was like just like a tour de microaggressions mm-hmm. of the entire house basically like gaslighting this poor woman into thinking she was like being awful to all of them when in reality they were terrible to her for like a week straight.
They were awful. And yeah, it's really, really gross. And you know, I think something happens when you get onto these shows where you forget about kind of like the outside world and you forget about like how it's coming across as a viewer. And like, I just think people lose and people really go deep into their real privilege. Like there's a lot of times where if you notice in a lot of seasons, very rarely is it that there is an alliance on Survivor or Big Brother that consists of more than one, like, ethnicity. Like it's oftentimes like the white people will just become like aligned with the white people and pick off anyone who doesn't look like them. And it's not necessarily intentional, but it's something that's instilled in like the way that they like move in society, you know, and it comes out in the game. I'm not defending them by saying it's unintentional. I just mean like, I don't think they're like, let's make an alliance and let's get out every single person that doesn't look like us. But I think it's like the bias that, you know, you have in this world being a white person and you just kind of like fall into the worst version of that.
Yeah. I mean, I've been keeping up with the live feeds, not watching it, but I've been going on. Donnie gave me a website. It's like Morty's TV or something. And it just like gives you updates of like what's going on. And you kind of just like read it like a play.
Oh, I like that. I should look at that.
Yeah. It's like, because anytime I try to look at the live feeds, I'm
No,
like, this seems
unwatchable.
creepy.
It's
Like,
weird, but also
I understand people like being into it, but it just seems, I don't know. I feel like a peeping Tom.
Well, it's that, but it's also like oftentimes not a lot happens. You have to be watching it for like hours to get like 10 seconds of something really like juicy.
Yeah, but there was a lot that was going on too then with Paloma, the woman who initially was like attacking Taylor, is she was like not well, and I don't want to speculate on anybody's mental health, but clearly being in the house was not good for her. And they kind of did like this awkward clip package because, so for people that don't watch Big Brother, like you have literally 24/7 footage of the house, and then they put it together into like a 45-minute episode. And they put together this like clip package that kind of touched on it, but it just was like the tip of the iceberg. And they basically were like, oh, she didn't sleep and she needs to go home. But it was like, it was very unsettling to
It was
watch.
unsettling, but also something that they left out of it that they can't really bring up in it. Apparently, producers had a talk with like the entire cast, and also I think with like when they go into their interview rooms, oftentimes that'll be time for producers to talk to them a little bit, like about what's
Okay.
going on, or let them know if something's going on in the outside world that they need to know about, or like they'll chat with them a little bit. And my understanding is the producers talk to everyone about like how the gang up on Taylor is like big is a problem, and I think that there that had to have played a bit of a role in her like freaking out, because her frantic like crying to Taylor about Taylor like being on the block, like the whole thing was so weird, like
Yeah.
so weird. I was like, Paloma, you're the one, you're like the reason she's there. Why are you sobbing with her? I think she just like there felt to me for there was a little fragility like at play there, like with the way she was interacting with her, and kind of like, I'm not saying that's why she had her like little mental breakdown moment, but I have to think that played a little bit of a part in it.
Well, I mean, so like Donnie really wants to go on Big Brother, and I am like, why? You literally could not pay me $1 million to go on. Like, I could not handle being in a house knowing that I'm like getting famous or infamous and have no idea what the outside world is seeing or perceiving of me until you're getting out of the house. Like, I would not be able to, I would lose my shit immediately because it's like, you're so like in this world of like all that matters is this game, and then you get out of it, and it's like everybody has been watching you and knows you, and now either loves you or hates you.
Yeah, I want to be on
You
it.
want to be on it too.
I mean, I think
Well,
I'd
I will
ra I
root
think
for you guys. Like, I will be so pumped for you, but no, thank you.
I think I'd rather do Survivor. I like the gameplay aspect of Survivor a bit more, and Survivor feels a little bit more like equal opportunists. Like a lot of different types of people go far in Survivor. Big
Okay.
Brother, even though it's not as athletic as a game. The game always kind of plays out the same way, where most of the time, all the hot white guys like make it till the very end with like a nerd and a girl, and then like they battle it out, and it's a game of wits, sort of. But like it kind of always plays out the same way. I think I'd want to do Survivor because A, it's shorter, and B, I feel like there's more opportunity to like actually do well.
Yeah.
And Jeff, Julie Chen is freaks me out a little bit.
Okay, so this is my first real season watching, and I cannot get over the camera angles at the start of each episode where like she is going to end up in a neck brace because it's like she's looking like camera left. She's like, tonight on Big Brother. And then she's like looking camera right. And she's like, we're going to get down. It's the HOH competition. I like expect her to like bend between her legs and like look at the camera like that's from upside down.
I would love to see her do that. Well, did you know her, the doubling down on her last name? Do you know that whole thing?
I read about it.
Yeah, it's so Julie Chen is married to Les Moonves, who was the head of CBS and has a huge amount of sexual assault allegations out against him, like crazy amount of them. And when the case like came out that there were all these allegations, she was hosting Big, it came out during the summer. And she was doing Big Brother at the time. And like the day they came out, instead of, because she used to always say, and it's me, Julie Chen, have a good night. Literally since those allegations came out, she goes, it's me, Julie Chen Moonves, have a good night. I'm like, what a weird thing to like double down on, right?
Yeah. There's something very off-putting about her. This was so fucked up of me. And like, you know, obviously I hope that Paloma is okay and all that. When Julie Chen said, Godspeed, Paloma.
Okay, thank you. I thought that was so fucking out weird.
Because I saw a tweet that said, why did Julie just act like Paloma's about to save the Earth from an asteroid?
Like, so Julie is known to get a little religious in these things. And that's, and do you remember seeing the Carson Kressley interview where he wore the,
yeah. What was it? What it was the shirt?
It was, oh my God, it's my Twitter. It's my like Twitter, not profile pic, but the thing behind it, you know, what's the, like the, you know, on
the banner.
The banner. Yeah. What is it? What did it say? 1 second. Let me pull it up. Oh, born again, Christian Dior. But he wore that like on her interview show because he knew she was like a huge Christian. So she gets a little political. So it didn't surprise, I mean, not a little political. She gets a little religious. So it didn't surprise me that she was going to do something like that. But to me, Godspeed is not religious to me.
No,
I mean, I know
I've
God
heard,
is in it.
Like
but.
I've heard bless your heart or I'll pray for you or like, you know, may God carry you in his arms. Uh-huh. But Godspeed is like,
it's nautical.
Military.
Yeah, or military. Like, yeah, it
Godspeed.
It feels like the Titanic. It feels like, it feels maritime to me. Oh, I'm just picturing Paloma like on a little floaty, like floating off. Off.
Blowing
her
next little Titanic whistle.
Yeah. Oh, Paloma. Godspeed.
Godspeed, Paloma.
Wait, so where are you at with BH right now?
You mean in general? Like, yeah. What am I thinking about it?
Are you enjoying? Are you loathing?
I am enjoying. I know I am in the minority, but I still get some laugh out loud moments every single episode. And that to me is an indication that I'm enjoying a show is if like, if I can be annoyed but also laughing, then I'm really in my sweet spot. And Beverly Hills consistently gives me that because, my God, it's also been so satisfying to see Doogie Richards fall from grace because I have been just down on Doogie for years.
You have been. And I agree. I mean, it's nice to see that and it's nice to see other people see that she's a bully. And I
Look,
even
– Do you know what you're – I'm going to – put her on blast, so I'm sorry, Noor. Do you know what Noor told me?
What?
She's spreading rumors about you.
About me liking Kyle?
Is it true? Do you like Kyle?
No. When did I say that?
She told me, she said, well, you know, Tom is a Kyle fan. And I said, I don't think that's true. And she said, I think it might be.
Oh, she said, I think it might be. Not she knows it is.
So then I was worried that you were a Doogie defender.
Okay, no, I'm not a Doogie defender at all. I think I literally bring up on this podcast like every time the whole Brandy v. Kim Kyle game night. I bring it up constantly because I'm like, why did everyone forget that she sucks?
She has been, Kyle has been like this since her very first season. And I think she's just getting sloppy because she's always been like playing both sides and like gassing people up. And then she does that thing where like she gets in this person's ear, she gets in this person's ear, they start fighting. And then she's like, oh my God, my friends are fighting. I'm so uncomfortable. I just want everyone to get along. It's like, no, you don't, Doogie. You started this shit.
No, she, no. She's always in the muck and mire, and she just, she has done that, I think, pre the show. I think that's like who she is.
Well, I think that she learned it from her mom, who, like, God knows what mental games that woman played with her daughters.
We will never know, will we?
That book is never going to get published.
No, it really won't, because I think there are too many skeletons.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah. I'm going to bring it up in this moment, but let's never forget the rumor that she hired sex workers to teach her children how to have sex. Allegedly.
And just like every single time that any of those Richard sisters tells like a quote unquote lighthearted memory from their past.
Yeah, like everyone tilts always, their heads.
It is so steeped in like immense trauma. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll never get over Kathy Hilton talking about her childhood dentistry practice. But bizarre. Also, remember when she said she used to put tinfoil on her windows so she could sleep later? I'm like, so you were cooking your brain. It was must have been 100 million degrees in your room. Why is that a casual thing? Why are you acting like, oh, right, when I wanted to sleep late, I just put tinfoil on my windows.
Well, and I think there's something so dark about – no, I love – I take most of my meals to either the couch or the bed. Like, very rarely am I seated at a table in my apartment eating a meal. But there was something disturbing about Kathy Hilton, who is like this, nearly a billionaire. Mm-hmm. And she takes all of her meals on a TV tray in front of the TV because it reminds her of like how they would eat when they were kids. I'm like, this is weird. Like, this is dark.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think this is normal. Like,
no,
it's not, because she's not doing it in a way where she's like relatable. Like, she's doing it like as like a senile old woman who's like trying to remember the good old days, you know?
Yeah, it is like very much like the end of the Notebook.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it feels very Great Gardens.
Just like taking their trays next to each other and holding hands and flying off into the night.
Well, Kathy, we're recording this on Monday, so we have not seen the most recent episode when this comes up, but Kathy makes her big return to the screen.
Yeah, she held out for that big paycheck only to say the F word and go out in a blaze of glory. Do you think that's really going to happen?
Which part?
All of it. Like, her saying the F word, her, like, I trust Beverly Hills so little at this point. Mm-hmm. I'm like, maybe Lisa Rinna just went on her Instagram and said it. Like, I believe it happened, but yeah. I don't necessarily believe we're going to see it.
No, I don't think we will see it though, because I believe the cameras were down when it happened.
Okay.
Because I think the cameras were, the ladies like went out. I hate when the ladies go out and the cameramen don't come. I'm like, what are we doing here, you guys? Like,
and that's where you got to give it to Potomac and New York, because they will get out that iPhone and they will record when something's going down.
Like, oh, Sonia's punching fire extinguisher glass walls. Let's get that on camera.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't think it'll be on camera, but I do. But apparently that is not actually the drama, though. Like, that's a part of it. Like, because...
What is the drama?
No, apparently... The whole sit-down with Kathy, with Lisa and Kyle and Kathy, that happens because Kathy gets really angry one night and goes to hang out with some of the girls without Kyle and talks mad shit about Kyle, I believe, on camera. Like, says insane, awful shit about her. Oh, and that, and Rena's like, okay, well, like, I'm going to tell Kyle you said that because that's awful. Like, I'm supposedly that's what happens in Aspen.
Oh, I have like a shit eating grin on my face right now. I really do hope that happens, because I just think that's so funny. I mean, it's so fucked up and it's like so terrible that their sister relationships are always such a mess. But like, it's so funny to me that Kathy came on in one season and like eclipsed Kyle's star on this show. Yeah. And like, if Kathy Hilton comes out of this season having said the F word, still more likable than Doogie Richards, like that is just tragic and hilarious.
Yeah, that's not, and I actually really don't think Kyle saw any of this coming. Like, I don't think that she, like, I think she thought that her tiff with Garcelle was not that big of a deal, but I think she thinks she's going to be great by the end of the season. But I think she's surprised by the reaction that we're all having to, I mean, yeah. The Garcelle birthday party stuff was really crazy.
And I mean, Erica looked terrible. Obviously, that's so unforgivable and like disgusting and despicable. But at least she seemed embarrassed by it.
She was mortified, yeah.
At least she was like in a shame spiral, and she was doing it in her Erica Jane, I don't give a fuck type of way. But like, you could tell that she was shooketh by what she was hearing she did. And yeah. I believe that she was blacked out. But then you have Kyle, who is the one actively like laughing about it and making it seem like it's not a big deal. And this is where I hate when I have to have empathy for Kyle, but it's like she so quickly slipped back into that like protector and explainer and enabler role of, she is basically Erica's PR person of like, no, she's fine. She's just light and free and comfortable with us. And like, she's trying to paint this whole narrative that like excuses away her drunken behavior. And I don't even think Kyle realizes like how quickly she slipped back into that role that she was for so many years.
Yeah, I think you're right. But also like, I don't think they're really friends like that. Like, that's the thing that's weird to me is like, I think she steps in as a friend of hers on the show, but I don't really think they like know anything about this woman. Like, I don't think they've just aligned themselves with her because it's an easy, she is a fan favorite, or was for a little bit. And I don't know. Can you see them like really like talking off camera about like life shit together, or like being like, I'll protect you, or I'll make sure you're, I don't even think that it's, part of me doesn't even know that it's that thought through, you know, because like, I don't think they're friends like that.
Well, I don't think Erica has friends like that. No,
I think her only friends she pays are, you know, her makeup artists and things.
Yeah, she surrounds herself with yes people, but I couldn't ever see her feeling comfortable enough to be vulnerable, to trust people with like how she's actually feeling, which is why I think we saw her spiral so quickly when all of this stuff with Tom happened. Is like, I don't know if she necessarily has people she can actually talk to, but I think that they are friends outside of the show in that they are aligned on the show, and they probably talk about the show and the way that they're going to like, you know, curate their storylines or whatever. But yeah, it's so strange. And then it was interesting because I forgot about Garcelle's connection to being a loved one of someone who struggles with addiction with Oliver, her son. And so seeing like the way these two women who have had loved ones struggle with addiction, like seeing the juxtaposition between how Garcelle is like concerned and talking about it. And it doesn't seem to me like Garcelle is doing it in like the Lisa Rinna, she's close to death type of way. It seems genuine, and it seems like she's really like, what the fuck is going on with Erica? And then to see Kyle on the other hand, just like totally being like, no, it's fine. We're not going to talk about this. She's fine.
Yeah, but I think that Kyle likes to party a little bit. I mean, like, I get it, but it's like I don't know. I think that there's a little like, I don't know. It just felt a little bit to me that she's like excited that she has like a drinking friend now. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I don't necessarily think Erica has like an issue with alcohol. I mean, only Erica knows what her relationship is like. It's clear that she's self-medicating, and it's clear that she's mixing things that shouldn't be mixed. But at the same time, I think like a good friend isn't one that's like, no, you're fine, like excuses behavior. Like a good friend is one that's like, but are you all right though? Cause you've been doing some wild shit, and that was not makeup on that couch. You pissed yourself on television on that yacht, and I know it and you know it.
Wait,
and
you think she pissed her pants?
Yes. That was not makeup. That was urine.
Wait, what?
Don't you think? when they show what makeup looked like, think back to like, who was it that got, when Barbara on New York,
yes,
got
the self tanner
all over, all over. That was a completely different, texture.
Yes,
color.
But they are different. They
tan differently.
Well, they buy different colors to paint their body with, I guess. But I don't know.
But you why think was it only in a concentrated area by her butt? She was wearing a dress, like.
If she peed herself,
if there
that's
was
insane.
Makeup, if there was makeup everywhere, it would be like where her face was or where her arms were. Why was it all in pooled in one location by her butthole?
Wow, you're really opening things
life's
up.
Life's mysteries.
Life's mysteries. I mean, but then she just walked around that whole boat in like a piss-soaked gown.
And she's talking about how she used to own a boat called the Illegal. I don't think she was necessarily like, you know...
Yeah, you know, well, it's apparently, I know this because I shamefully listen to Tamara and...
Two Swats in a Pod.
Yeah, I don't listen often. I just listen every once in a while when there's like a good pairing, but I listen
it's
to the...
It's so funny because I feel like everybody listens to it, but everybody starts with the disclaimer of like, well, I do listen
because,
to...
Mostly because I love Tamara. I will listen to her all day. Teddy just is so insufferable and like... I do think she's found her medium in podcasting because, like, we don't have to, like, look at her. She just annoys the fuck out of me. But she sucks. But she had the whole Fox Force 5 on and they were talking. And apparently they said that Lisa was like, Erica and I have, like, a bit of a sit down slash fight about, like, substance stuff. So I think that Lisa sits down with her and is like, things are getting a little crazy, and I don't think Erica responds well to it.
Mm. Well, I mean, it does seem, I don't know, like we see, and obviously by the time this episode comes out, we'll have one more episode under our belt, but like just the fact that she was like, I can only have one cocktail, and then we see her just like, and you know, who, to quote Danny Pellegrino, who among us been like, oh, not today, not drinking today. And then all of a sudden it's 2 a.m. and you're like, well, maybe tomorrow. But it just does seem like this is a much more unhinged version of her than we have gotten in the past.
I agree. Now, something I know you had to have been obsessed with was the Diana Sutton sit down. Like the not, I'm not saying Garcelle's party, the dinner or the lunch or whatever it was.
The sit down, that was high comedy.
It is, y'all. It is one of the funniest things I've ever seen because I've never seen two people speak such different English languages at the same time to each other. Like they have different, complete understandings of language. Like the way Sutton like talks. With her like southern draw and like the southern isms of like high society in Georgia versus this like billionaire's wife who has like a descript Eastern European way of speaking, like they don't know how to communicate, which I honestly think may be the core problem.
It was so funny. I mean, the fact that all of this was about like trying to one-up each other in how sad they were about their miscarriages. I mean, it's so fucked up, but like, it's so funny and fucked up. And the fact that Sutton says that she's speaking for women who have miscarriages all over the world, except for like the woman literally across the table from her that has just had a miscarriage.
I know.
That she is like circumventing her experience. Because that is Sutton's like, she always brings it back
she
to herself.
Does.
And I can understand why Diana is annoyed with her in that situation. Because Sutton didn't come to that initial conversation with good intention. She wasn't going there to be like, how are you? I wanted to check in. I've experienced this too. I know it's a tough thing. She went because she was like, bitch, you aren't on bed rest. And then when that bit her in the ass, then she started crying and said, well, I know what it's like because I've had two miscarriages. Can we also talk about Diana has the world's largest head, and that Gucci hat was squeezing her brain.
None of the hats fit her.
She looked like Pinky in the Brain. Like, it looked like she was wearing like a tiny little hat, and it was just like smushing her
temples. I think her tongue is also trying to crawl out of her skull because she's squeezing her head so bad. I mean,
it's like one of those keychains that if you squeeze it, the eyes pop out, except it's her tongue.
Her tongue and just like licks the perimeter of her mouth. I mean, the tongue, when I had not noticed the tongue until someone pointed it out, and then it's all I can see. Like, I can't stop staring at her mouth.
Maybe she has some reptile in her because, you know, snakes, that's how they smell. So maybe that she's just...
I'm picturing a little snake in a mini Gucci hat. No, but I saw someone post about all of the hats she wears don't fit her. There's tons of different hats she's worn, like, on the vacation and, like, other places, and they all don't fit.
Is she, like, Megamind? Like, is her head expanding?
I don't know.
Because she has money. Like, then just get new hats.
And even if you're gaining weight, it's odd that you would gain weight in your skull.
Like, in your frontal temporal lobe?
She's gaining, like, weight in her temples, like, if that's the case. Like, how does that not fit?
Yeah.
Or anything. Most tops are pretty adjustable. So, like, I don't know why she's not just, like, loosen up that strap on the back.
Yeah. Well, maybe. I mean, I've never owned I'm a TJ Maxx gal myself, so I've never owned a Gucci hat. Maybe it's, like, you know how high fashion likes to discriminate against, like, plus size.
Sure.
Maybe they're like
in the head, you know, department too.
One size fits all. If you got a big head, lose weight. Cut your brain in half. Make it work.
I mean, I could see it, you know. I could.
The Kardashians will come up with something to, like, squeeze your brain down to look more aesthetically pleasing. So
you're right. But my favorite part of their, like, their chat is the very end where she's like, so you say, and Sutton's like, I am that. Like, I don't remember what they're saying, but they don't make any sense.
So you're the fake one. I am fake.
So you're fake.
And then they just, like, stare. Like, there's literally, like, just dead silence as they stare at each other, because it's like, it's literally like both of them are like, where do we go from here?
Right. So you say. But then, and Sutton is, like, literally about to start laughing. Like, she can't, like, I've never seen her go from fury to just, like, humor so quickly, because she is so self-serious, Sutton. It's very rare for her to find things funny, but she's getting to the point where she's like, I have no idea, like, what you're saying.
I just, that end scene, because I don't know if either of them even knew what they were coming to say to the other person, but then I think they were like, well, once I'm there, you know, I'll wing it and we'll come to some resolution. Like, can you imagine being the producer on set when they're filming that? And what would you say to them of, like, okay, so can you go back and can you accuse Diana of being fake again? It's like, no, but she said she was fake. Like, where do we go from here?
Right. What's next? I mean, I can't imagine the poor, I'm sure it's a first season producer having to be Diana's producer. Because something
Sutton's
happened.
Producer has been through the ringer. Like, poor person is probably, like, just shaking like a leaf.
I agree. Well, something happened, though, between, like, landing from that vacation to Garcelle's party. I think that a producer sat down with her and was like, you're not doing this right. Like, and just was like, step it up. Because between, like, the timing of Cherie being brought in, like, right in that same time, it almost felt like they were like, I don't know that this is working, sort of thing.
But it wasn't. I mean, that is my biggest bugaboo with Diana, is like, okay, so she's revealed herself to be a terrible person off camera. Okay, fine. I've given up on trying to understand Bravo's casting process. Right. Fine, whatever. But then she's boring.
So,
like,
boring.
She has run away from every single confrontation this entire time. She literally jumped off a boat to get away from the women. Like, she literally tried to swim away from her job. And that's my issue, is, like, okay, fine. If you're going to be out of touch and vapid and delusional, that can work for me. That some of my favorite housewives are all of those things. But then you have to show up and you have to do your job, and you can't leave early. You can't shut down a receipts conversation. Yeah. You can't literally jump off a boat instead of talk about your book. Like, she's playing it like, oh, well, I'm above this. And it's like, but you're not though, because you're here. Right. So do your job.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with all of that. And Cherie is a breath of fresh to me. I'm like, she's hilarious. And like, and the thing when she was, when Cherie said the thing about wanting to have sex with Garcelle's son, it was like funny. Like, I'm like, this is why, once again, I think you and I have even talked about this before. Erica stays one of the least funny people in.
Least funny.
Like, doesn't understand humor to her core. Yeah. Like, I don't even think when she watches things, she doesn't laugh. Like I don't even know that she smiles. She's
somebody that says, that's so funny.
Absolutely.
She's a person who never actually laughs. She just says, oh my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah, no, you totally. Like, you never see her smile, nothing. Like, she's a fully humorless human, and that's why her, I think when she thinks she's being funny and shady, and like, it's not, it's mean.
It's mean. I also don't understand her logic of like, oh, well, I was treating the boys like they were grown-ups. Why are you telling random grown-ups to get the fuck out of here? Like, that's not funny. That's not like, you're not playing with them. You're not like, I mean, you and I both famously love to like make fun of people, and it's kind of like the way we show affection It does get us both in trouble from time to time when we go too far. But like, she wasn't like ribbing Jax. She literally, there was a 14-year-old child coming to collect his mother's birthday flowers, and she's like, get the fuck out of here. After she's like talking to Oliver about wanting to like fuck his brains out. It's like, Cherie was funny because she was saying it to Garcelle, not in front of the person that's going to be uncomfortable with it. And it was said in a way that like,
she was trying to like lighten the
mood. It broke the tension and the ice so that they could all laugh about it. But Erica is just like a little robot that the humor program was never fully uploaded.
No, not at all. Well, where do you think we go from here though with the show? Because they're throwing everything at the wall this season. I feel like we're getting a lot of women. I don't know that all of these women are perfect for the show. I just don't know what's next for them.
They need to do a gag order, a social media gag order immediately. Yeah. There needs to be no more social media when a season is airing. I think bring back the blogs if we want to do that, to give them their, you know, four paragraphs to give their side of the story, but then let them fight about stuff and articulate their points at the reunion like they used to. But with the introduction of the social media circus, it's almost like you have to pay attention to that stuff, or else when we get to the reunion, you don't know what the hell is going on, because there's already been like 65 preliminary fights going into the reunion. Yeah. And I think that's like my main issue. That's always been my main issue with Beverly Hills, is like, even going back, and Monty says this from Mixing with Monty, but like, even going back to the Lucy apple juice, which the fact that that dog is not juicy, just like, I can't ever get over that.
But another humorless person who named that dog.
Right. Like, come on. Just like one just more.
Throw us a bone here, at least.
I see what you did there. But like, if we had experienced that season without knowing Lisa Vanderpump like ghosts us, or like that any of this stuff happened, then it would have been like, we would have been on pins and needles. Like, wait, is she really not coming back? We would have been like excited to tune in to see, but we already knew the entire storyline before it happened. The same with Denise, when Rinna was commenting, Denise, are you okay? You didn't show up to film. Are you all right? Like, it takes away from the enjoyment of the show because we have already seen it play out.
Yeah. And, but then there, well, to bring it back to a previous conversation we were having, when the Brooks cancer scandal happened, no one knew that that was in that season. Like, you just were watching and you're like, wait, what?
Right.
Say what? Like, there are so many amazing moments that have unfolded that stay iconic to this day because no one knew about it ahead of time. You're absolutely right, and Monty's right. But someone else who does a good job of this currently is Potomac. They really, like, after the Monique Candace fight, they were like, y'all have to stop. I know that there was they got in trouble for doing a live or something like that. But I think that they do, like, this past season, I went in completely blind and it was so enjoyable, top to bottom.
I mean, even this season, we know that Ashley Darby is getting a divorce.
But that's it.
But that's like enough to make me excited because I'm like, oh, what's that going to look like? But I don't know any details. We don't know why. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the straw was that broke the camel's back, that woman finally escaped Mordor and Gollum. But yep. Like, we don't know anything that's happening.
No, nothing at all, which makes me so much more excited for that show to come back, you know?
Yeah.
But meanwhile, we're all sitting here waiting for Kathy Hilton to say faggot when she's not going to. It's not going to be on camera, and it's not going to be addressed the right way at the reunion. None of it is going to unfold the way we want it to.
I mean, like, yeah, of course not, because it's Bravo.
Right. No, of course not. The only time, you know what I will say, the only time that knowing of something and then it unfolding paid off was Bolo.
And Jen Shaw's
And Jen Shaw. You're right. You're right. Right.
Yeah. And Bolo, that was just because there was so much more there. Mm-hmm. It was like getting to witness it.
It was one of the best Sunday nights of my life watching that whole thing.
And I still to this day sometimes think about that cantaloupe or watermelon or pumpkin or whatever that was in that one video.
That was shocking.
Shocking.
That was only last season. It feels like forever ago.
It really does. It's a different life.
Yeah. Well, Chelsea, thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. Tell everyone where they can follow you, listen to you, all the good stuff.
Yeah, so you can follow me at @OhNoChels on Instagram. And if you want to hear more Beverly Hills Talk, I am covering it over on my Patreon, patreon.com/... Oh no, Chels. It took me a minute because I've been plugging my other Patreon. But And then if you want to hear me cover really silly teen movies from the 90s and 2000s, you can listen to I Am the Cute One. We recently had Melissa Beck from The Real World on, and she was delightful. So go over there and listen.
Yeah, check that out. And wait, do you guys have a Patreon there too?
Yeah, so we started a Patreon there. Patreon.com/IAmTheCuteOne, where it's basically just like the unedited audio and video versions of our shows, which it's like an extra like 20 to 30 minutes because we usually just
y'all cut down a lot of shit. Yeah because we're all tangent people. And then you can follow me at The Tom Hamlet and the podcast at Dumpster Dive Pod, and make sure to rate, review, subscribe to all your favorite podcasts, not just the ones represented here on this episode today. And have a wonderful rest of your day, afternoon, evening, night when you're listening to this. And say bye to everyone, Chels. Bye.
Bye.